Braga, Portugal, a city that I've been calling home for almost 2.5 years now. A city that I can say that I've actually really been enjoying calling home. But in 2024, is it still worthwhile to move here? Is it a place that actually is worth thinking about? Last week, I spoke about how many people are actually leaving Portugal, but I still enjoy it nonetheless. I enjoy living here, and I do have my reasons why I think people should be moving abroad or should be moving to a place and moving towards something rather than getting away from something, whatever. I'm not going to get into it in this episode. Feel free to check out last week's episode. But is it still something that is worthwhile considering? I'm Rafael Di Furia. This is another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. Roll that intro. When looking at moving to Portugal, and specifically moving to Braga, Portugal, a lot of people consider the fact that in Portugal, they will probably have a lower cost of living. But after doing a bit of research, many people find that it isn't as low cost as they had maybe thought before. And after looking at cities like Lisbon and Porto, many people find that they are going through the list of different cities in the country, and Braga, being one of the largest cities in the country, ends up on those searches. Even though it's not one of the biggest cities that you'll ever find, it's still one of the biggest within the country. Even though, generally speaking, Braga is a bit less expensive than living in cities like Porto or Lisbon, in my personal opinion, based on the prices that I've been seeing, to me, things look like the gap is actually getting smaller and smaller. And I know many people, both foreigners and locals alike, are being priced out of living in Braga. And it's not just the cost of apartments, but also food and monthly bills. And these sorts of things are all building up. And it's getting to the point that maybe the country that people thought they were moving to that would be on the low cost of things. And I know many people, both, again, foreigners and locals, who are now considering if Braga is realistically feasible to stay in based on how much things have been going up in price. And so the first thing, of course, that we're going to talk about is going to be regarding the price of a place to live, the cost of an apartment, a house, whether you're renting or buying. Things have gone up considerably. In my personal opinion, things are way out of hand and things cost way, way more than they really should. The value of what you're getting versus the price that you're paying, in my personal opinion, isn't quite there. Are there deals to be found? Most definitely. However, finding those in Portuguese cities, the main Portuguese cities at least, is becoming more and more difficult, not only because of the pricing, but also because of the availability, especially when it comes to rentals. For many people who are moving to Portugal and trying to get a visa here, they have to have that rental set up beforehand. So there are plenty of people that are willing to do things in a way that doesn't fit within some of the cultural norms, such as maybe not even negotiating first and renting a place for an absurd price, sight unseen, or at least quasi-sight unseen. Granted, I also did rent an apartment in Portugal with just a video tour alone, but I already had an understanding a little bit more of the local scene, how things work, and did a bit of negotiating before I got into my apartment. But nowadays, because the demand is so high, the amount that you can actually, even in this past couple of years since I moved here, the amount that you can negotiate these days, I would say, is even less. There are many landlords now who are not even willing to budge, not even maybe 20 euros. So this is another thing that I would say is worthwhile taking into account. But even among the people who live in Braga, many people who are thinking whether it is realistic to be able to stay here or not are looking at property outside of the city, Vila Verde, Famalicão, and other places that are either a little outside of Braga or maybe between Braga and Porto. There are plenty of villages in the countryside that you can find places that are still reasonably priced to an extent, but also there are a few other cities in the area that people have been looking at, Barcelos, Guimarães, for example. These are all places that have availability, but because people are now starting to look away from Braga, now these places are starting to kind of pick up a bit as well. Like I was saying, people were looking at Lisbon and Porto and then kind of working their way down the list. And now even from Braga, people are working their way even further down the list. I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing because there are plenty of wonderful places in Portugal that can offer a wonderful quality of life. And like I said, I do enjoy calling this place home, but nowadays, I think there are really some things that are worthwhile considering if you are looking at Portugal from a very specific perspective, even if you're not looking at it from the perspective of if you're going to take advantage of a lower cost of living than maybe where you come from, being able to look at what is actually here is very important, and how things are actually working, because how things are actually working right now might not necessarily be within the ideal that so many people are seeking out. Just before we get into the next section, I do want to say a huge thank you to those of you who help to make these episodes possible on a monthly basis through the support on patreon.com/RafaelDiFuria or RafaelDiFuria.com/Patreon, or through the super thanks button here on YouTube, as well as RafaelDiFuria.com/support. Anyway, let's get back to the rest of the episode. I mean, one really big concern that I would say people have when it comes to the cost of living, and especially specifically, again, in regards to apartments, is that the protections for the renter aren't necessarily as in place as they might be in other locations in Europe. For example, many people who I know, they're just ending their first contract, whether it's a one-year contract or a two-year contract, and they're not sure if their next contract is going to jump up in price. I know people who've had their rent jump up 400 euros. I know people who've had it jump up 200 euros from one contract to the next. But even within the scope of a singular contract, there's a technicality that the rent actually legally could be raised from one year to the next. The caveat is that it has to follow some guidelines set by the government, but even my rent, I think I've mentioned this in the past, actually has been raised by a bit. Thankfully, not as much as some other people that I know. But like I said, I know many people who are in the situation where they don't know what their next contract will look like. They don't know if the landlord in the apartment where they're going to be is going to allow them to just continue being there. Even if they can be, is the rent going to stay the same? Is it going to go up? I do know a couple of landlords that I'm friendly with that aren't of the same mindset that many other landlords are, but from what I've seen, they do seem to be in the minority. And I would be maybe in the same mindset as some of my Portuguese friends, that if you have a reliable renter, that they're treating your apartment well, and they're paying you on time, and they're not causing problems, then why not just have that steady income? By finding a new person, of course, it's taking a gamble, and maybe you're going to get someone who's really horrible, maybe you'll find someone that's okay. There's no guarantees ever. But having to go through the process of finding a new person, re-registering, and the taxes, and the this, and the that, it's a headache that many people aren't looking for, at least from the perspective of the owner. But another thing that I would say actually kind of gives a little bit more of an idea of how much things have increased here, maybe not to an extreme as other things that I've seen, is some prices that are in restaurants. There's one particular restaurant that I can think of on the main walking street here in Braga. And when I first arrived here, they had a specific plate, which was some meat, rice, and mushroom sauce. And I believe it also came with fries, something like that. And when I first arrived here, it was $8.50. Now that same plate is going for $12.50. I've seen other places, other restaurants that have had much steeper increases over the same amount of time. Again, we're only talking about 2.5 years, basically, since I've been here. And they've been raising steadily. And there are many restaurants that I see that they just kind of keep covering up the previous prices on their menu. Or you go one time and they have a particular menu, and then you go again maybe a couple months later, and they've got a whole new reprinted menu. The same things on the menu, but the prices have been increasing, and then the prices have been increasing so much that they just keep like using whiteout or a sticker to cover up the price, and then rewriting over what that price would have originally been. But also now, with how many restaurants are using online menus with QR codes, following some of those numbers isn't as easy as maybe it used to be, at least in regards to the trend of where that price is going. And again, some of these prices have been trending quite high. Granted, in another part of the world, yes, you would pay a lot more for this. But in a country like Portugal, where maybe even, say, 10 years ago, you would have spent a lot less for that, it's an issue that many people are looking at. And yes, prices around the world, inflation, and all the various problems that are existing in this world are changing the cost of living everywhere. But in a country like Portugal, where people do specifically aim to go to because of how low it used to be and how much it's been sold, I would personally have concern with how fast certain prices have been going up. In some other parts of the world, I've been seeing that the cost of living hasn't increased as much, or it's stabilized a little bit more, or even the housing market has stabilized in some other places a bit more. But here in Portugal, things have been holding on pretty strong, because even though the tax incentives aren't still being offered like they were, there are still a lot of people who are looking at Portugal because, yes, it does offer a wonderful quality of life. Not something that is for everybody. Like I mentioned in last week's episode, there can be some rough edges that you have to get used to. I enjoy those. I know they're not for everybody, but I like some of the grit that you can find here. It gives it a bit more character. And then also, when we're talking about living here, of course, you're going to have to interact with people from here. But there are people who do get by with minimal interaction with locals, which I think is an absolutely missed opportunity and completely absurd. But to get to know some of the people here that I have in the past couple of years, the locals, and it's been a real pleasure and really a wonderful experience. And the friendliness and the kindness of people that I've seen here really stands above so many other places that I've visited or lived in. It's really something else that I can't give a proper explanation. I've tried to give little hints of it throughout these episodes of Not Your Average Globetrotter, but I don't feel like I'm doing it justice. But then when it comes to the quality of life here, there's another thing that I personally really like, and that's the weather. Granted, it rains here a lot. And when I say a lot, I really mean a lot. And it is too much for many people who I know here. And that is actually another reason why many people do think about leaving. But as someone who spent time in the Northwest, grew up in the Northwest of the US, I would say it's not that big a deal. I don't mind it that much. If I get a little bit rained on, I'm not going to melt like the Wicked Witch from The Wizard of Oz. No relations. So I'm okay. Thankfully, I've got the genetics to be able to walk in the rain and be absolutely fine. Just flip my hair like Fabio and just continue on with my day. But this also leads to being able to really enjoy the country. And especially in the nicer kind of times of year, like the spring and summertime. Walking through the city is an absolute pleasure. You always have festivals and different little things going on. So when we're talking about living in Portugal, we're talking about living in a really wonderful country. When we're talking about Braga, we're also talking about living in a wonderful city. But it really is not for everyone. Is it for some people? Sure. But taking the time to find out if it's the right place for you really will make all the difference. And I would say, especially nowadays, picking up and just arriving here is not going to be the best idea. And actually taking the time to spend a bit before you commit to living here will definitely be worthwhile. But anyway, this is where I'm going to round out the episode. I'm Rafael Di Furia. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. And especially thank you so much to those of you who helped to make these episodes possible. All of the links are down in the more info section below this episode. Stay safe and healthy out there, and I'll see you all next time. Later.